ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر.
Good Tree Academy presents Quran Connection. Help support the education of our future Muslim leaders. This year, Good Tree Academy is accepting Zakat funds for our tuition assistance program. Visit goodtreeacademy.org/Ramadan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم ترى كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين؟ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى؟ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك؟ All these ayahs, probably every single one of you recognized. They are in the short surahs all the way at the end of the Quran. In all of these ayahs that I just recited, they are a question with a you in the question. Did you not see? How? Did you not think? Did Allah not? Or did you not? Did He not find you? So who's you in all these questions? Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're going to talk about this. That's going to be the topic today, inshallah. I'm going to preface this with a quick question. Imagine we take a picture. There's actually already pictures of the front of the building. We make a poster out of it. And then your parents, they take a picture of the front of their office at their work, and they make a poster out of it. And every time you go on vacation, the first thing your parents do when you arrive at the place of your vacation is that they put these two posters on the wall. How amazing a vacation it would be that every morning that you wake up, you get to see the picture of Good Tree, and your parents get to see the picture of the place they work at. Does that make sense to do that if you're going on vacation? No. Because when you go on vacation, you want to get away. You don't want to think about work. You don't want to think about school. You don't want to think about your job. So many adults, when they go on vacation, they shut down their phone because otherwise their colleagues and their work is going to call them all the time. So with that concept in mind now, imagine the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he is being asked all these questions that I just recited. The first one is in Surah Al-Duha. Did Allah not find you as an orphan and took care of you? And He found you seeking guidance and He gave you guidance? The next surah, did Allah not expand for you your chest and remove the burden that was on your back or burdening your back? In Surah Al-Fil, did you not see how Allah took care of the army that came to attack the Kaaba? In Surah Al-Ma'un, did you not see, or do you see these people who are so messed up? They're so corrupt. The society is so corrupt. These are all questions that Allah asks His Messenger in the short surahs at the end of the Quran. These short surahs, I like to call them the formula for success. And all of them are based on the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I call them the formula for success, and they are based on the life of success of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we'll talk about him for a little bit. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what people used to know him as he was growing up, as a young man, as a young adult, before Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to give him the revelation? Before that, what did people used to know him as? They used to know him as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the honest and trustworthy. Many people might have been honest and trustworthy, but they gave him that title because they recognized how honest and trustworthy he was. He was a hard-working man. He would never take advantage of anyone. So there are many stories you might have heard. One day, they had to rebuild the Kaaba in the middle of Mecca because of a storm. the Kaaba was damaged, and they had to fix it and rebuild it. And when it came to the last stone, that special black stone, the people of Mecca, they started fighting. Everybody wanted their own family, their own clan, their own tribe, to be the one to put the final piece, to finish fixing the Kaaba. And they were about to use weapons and fight each other over it. Not like a fight like we have now. They were about to get into it and really fight to death over it. But somebody said, let's not fight over this. Let's just find somebody. Can we all agree to find somebody who everybody can agree that he's the one who can make the decision for us? And they chose Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a prophet yet. He didn't receive any revelation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, everybody knew him to be very trustworthy. This is a person that whenever he makes a decision, whenever you trust him to do something, no one will feel shortchanged. No one will feel upset because of what he did. Subhanallah. So they were very happy for Muhammad to take care of this last stone. And what did Prophet Muhammad do? He wasn't a prophet already, but what did he do? Did he take the stone and say, okay, I'll do it. I'll put it there. Ta-da, ta-da, I put the last stone. No. He found a way for everybody to participate. He said, bring a sheet, like sheets when we sleep, right? A large sheet. And we will put the stone in the middle of the sheet. And then everybody together grab the sheet from the edges and carry the stone over, and I will just push it in place. So we're all doing it together. And they were very happy with this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known to be a very, very honest businessman. You know, today, our bank accounts, they have security on them. Nobody can come take money out of your bank account. There's all sorts of security. But back in the days, when people did business, nobody was there to watch and follow what they're doing. They could say, oh, I just lost this. Or I sold this for this much. There's no security, there's no cameras, there's nothing to check what actually happened. Nowadays, we do everything on paperwork. Everything, whenever you buy something online, you automatically get an email, a receipt. But back in the days, there was nobody to check. So everybody was cheating in business. And people recognized the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad. He wasn't the messenger yet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, they recognized that this man, he will always be honest. Subhanallah. This is how Khadija recognized him and decided that this is a good man to marry. So Muhammad got to marry Khadija radhiallahu anha. And she was a very good supporter in his mission throughout his life. So these are two things that show that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was recognized as a good man. You know Abu Lahab? Abu Lahab was his uncle. Abu Lahab was his neighbor. And Abu Lahab was the one who loved him the most sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved him so much that when his two sons were old enough to get married, he said that my two sons are going to marry the two daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his first son, Abu Lahab was ecstatic. He was so happy about it. He gave a huge gift because Muhammad had his first son sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People used to love him, even Abu Lahab, because you know what Abu Lahab did later on. Even Abu Lahab used to love him. That's how much people used to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he's becoming a young man and handling his business, helping out his uncle Abu Talib, who helped him grow up after he was 8 years old and his grandfather passed away. He was helping Abu Talib, he was working. Then he got married and he was still working and he's just handling his business. He starts thinking about his community. Like the more mature you grow, the more you start thinking about your life. What am I doing with my life? And the Prophet Muhammad, he wasn't a prophet yet, but he was thinking, what is the right thing to do with my life? What should I do? And he started thinking about his community. And he noticed all these people who cheat in business. Al-Mutaffifin. He noticed this was happening all over the place. He noticed in the market that they used to use those scales that have, you put weights on one side and then you put the grains or the rice or whatever it is that you're selling on the other side to see how much you're selling. People used to rig the scales to make it look like it's a lot and get a lot of money out of it, but it's not that much. People used to mix water in the milk so that you can sell a lot more of it. And it's still white, so people don't know that it's water inside the milk. People were cheating all over the place. And you know one way that they used to steal money? It's called usury, interest, riba. If somebody borrows money, they would keep that person like almost a slave. And every day that they did not give back the money, they would ask him for more and more and more and more. The people who had little, the poor in the society, they're the people that the rich would steal from them. Have you heard the story of Robin Hood? Robin Hood in England, they have this story. He was trying to steal from the rich to give to the poor. Which is, I mean, stealing is not good, but at least he's taking from the rich and trying to give to the poor. And then he got caught. But now these are the rich people stealing from the poor. Subhanallah. Some people had absolutely nothing. Some people, they even had no home. They were living in a house, they were slaves in a house. They had a small room that's the size of maybe three or four of your carpet rugs that you put together. Barely enough place to sleep. And he would see these people getting beat. The owner of these people, who's boxing them in something that's smaller than a jail cell, he would see them. Muhammad is seeing these people do this. They're beating people up. Just because they don't do their work, you know, just because they're getting tired at work and things like that. Subhanallah. Imagine if your teachers started beating you up when you didn't do good on a test. That'd be terrible. So he, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is trying to be a good man, but he's also thinking like, okay, when I was 12 years old, okay, I get it. I'm not very mature, so I don't understand why all these things that are happening. But now I'm an adult. These people, they're also adults. Don't they realize that it's wrong to beat somebody up? Don't they realize that it's wrong to take advantage of somebody, put them in the jail cell, and work them until they, you know, collapse because they're so exhausted, and then beat them up some more? Don't they know that it's bad, that it's wrong to steal? Don't they know that it's wrong to cheat? What can I do? You see, this was the concern of the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even before Allah chose him to carry the message of the final religion, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before Jibreel came to him with the first piece of revelation of the Quran, he was deeply concerned about his people. He wanted to do what he could for his people. But did Muhammad have power in Mecca? No. People loved him, but he wasn't a powerful person at all. He was doing okay in his business with his wife Khadija, but he was an orphan. He didn't have a powerful tribe, a powerful clan, a powerful extended family that was there for him. So people liked him, people loved him, but he didn't have the means and the resources to really change his society. So instead, what did he do? All of you know what he did. The month of Ramadan is around the corner, just about 3 weeks left. Ramadan is the month when the Quran was first revealed. And where did the Quran come? In the cave of Hira. You all know this story. What was the messenger doing in the cave of Hira? Because he felt like in his society, he can't do much. He doesn't have the power. He wants his society to change. He sees all the evil that they're doing. He wants to change it, but he doesn't know how to do it. And so Allah says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Allah noticed that you were seeking the guidance. You didn't know how to guide your people. Deep inside, you wanted to do everything you could. so that Mecca would become a good place and people would stop stealing and cheating and beating people up and all these things. Deep inside, Allah knows that you want this, and deep inside Allah sees that you don't know how to do it. So Allah provided you the guidance. Also, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. Allah sees that this is a big burden. It was a burden on him. He was very upset. He didn't feel happy at all in his life because of everything his community is doing, and he doesn't know what to do about it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. Now, think about it. He's troubled, Muhammad. He's worried. He wants to do something about it. He has to think a lot. What can I do for my people? What can I do for my people? And he wants some time alone to be able to think and take a break. He wants to get away from the hustle and bustle of the community so that he has his mind at peace and he can think and ponder about these things. And maybe he'll find a way. He wanted to be left alone and have some quiet time on his own. Now, when you want to take a getaway, when you want to vacation, a getaway to be able to have some good time and be able to refresh, do you have a poster of Guthrie in the hotel? Do you have a poster of, does your parent have a poster of their workplace? No. So if it was me, in the place of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I want to get away, I want to find some time alone in nature, I'm going to go on the other side of the mountain. I'm not going to go in the cave of Hira, where every morning I wake up, what do I see? My messed up society. The Prophet chose a place, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he could see the very place that troubles him. Subhanallah. That's how much he cared about his community. He didn't want to just get away. He wanted to find some time to reflect, but he wanted to see the Kaaba. He loved the cave of Hira because he could see the Kaaba. He could look straight at the Kaaba. And he knew, just like everybody else knew in Mecca, that Abraham built the Kaaba with his son Ismail. And that they built the Kaaba not for people to worship idols, for people to worship Allah. So he feels like this is a good place to find inspiration, so maybe I can help my people. And as he's sitting in the Kaaba, in the cave of Hira, he's reflecting about his community until Allah finally brought him the guidance, the Quran, to be able to guide his community. May Allah give us the type of concern that the Messenger had for his people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. May Allah make us feel the need to do what we can to do good for the community we live in, based on the life of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. الحمد لله الذي هدانا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. I imagine myself, what if I was in his shoes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How long would I survive to see how messed up my community is? To see almost every day somebody getting beat up because they're too exhausted with their work. Every day to see people cheating, to see people getting their money stolen. Every day, I don't know how long I would survive. And finally, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Finally, the guidance comes. Finally, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes a messenger, and he gets the visit of Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. So now, imagine him in the cave of Hira, looking at the Kaaba. He's remembering the story when an army came with elephants and attacked the city. And what happened? Allah sent birds to destroy the army. The elephants refused to march. And the army was destroyed and nobody was harmed. He's looking at his city and he's remembering this story that happened. He wasn't there when it happened, but Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Don't you see? Didn't you see how Allah dealt with that army? He didn't see it, but as he's sitting in the cave of Hira, looking at his city, he knows that this story happened. And he knows that there's something important. Allah protected Mecca. Why don't they worship Allah? If they worshipped Allah, they wouldn't be so messed up. He's thinking about this. And the next surah, right after Surah Al-Fil, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. If there's anyone in the whole world who should naturally understand that nobody else than Allah needs to be worshipped, it should be Quraysh. They live at the place where the Kaaba was built. Have a seat. They live at the place where the Kaaba was built. But no, they don't understand. He understood that. He understood that, I don't need anybody to tell me. Allah protected the city. Allah is the one who gave Quraysh their great status. That people protect them, that people don't harm them. The tribes never attack them around Mecca. SubhanAllah, Allah provided them safety. And so when Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, that surah, do you see? That's because when he was sitting in the cave of Hira, the messenger was thinking about this. He saw how messed up his community was. And so you see how the flow of these surahs go? Surah Al-Fil, Surah Quraysh, Surah Al-Ma'un. The next surah now, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Allah says, here, we have given you Al-Kawthar. You are going to be the final messenger. Here comes the revelation of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the guidance that you've been yearning for, hoping for all this time, in the form of the light of the Qur'an. So as the month of Ramadan gets closer, I remind all of you to turn to the Qur'an, to spend more time reading the Qur'an, and to put an effort into understanding what you're reading. Because it's good to read the words in Arabic, there's barakah, but understanding is the goal of the Qur'an, for you to take the message and be able to become a better person. اللهم اجعلنا بالقرآن عند الجزاء من الفائزين وعند النعماء من الشاكرين وعند البلاء من الصابرين. Ya Allah, make us successful, make us triumphant, make us victorious through the Qur'an. Ameen. And make us thankful from the Qur'an, and make us patient because of the Qur'an. Ameen. واجعله ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا. And Ya Allah, make this Qur'an to be the light in our heart, the spring of our chest, and to dispel all of our worries. Anytime we're upset, irritated, angry, Ya Allah, make the Qur'an a light that will dispel all these evil, negative feelings. Wa salli Allahumma ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Aqim as-salah.
Help support the education of our future Muslim leaders. This year, Guthrie Academy is accepting zakat funds for our tuition assistance program. Visit guthrieacademy.org/Ramadan.